In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we are studying a series of lessons on Christian living. And this is a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 13th, 1927, titled, Making Our Homes Christian. The text for this Sunday school lesson is Ephesians 5:25 to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And we will read that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read our lesson text, Ephesians 5:25 to Ephesians 6:4. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so, ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church, because we're members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and the church. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see that she fear her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. I want to notice something before I proceed further with this lesson. It's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul writes, children. Now that would get the attention of children, wouldn't it? Paul wrote these letters to the churches and intended them to be read when they were assembled. And we can infer from this that when the church came together, fathers and mothers brought their children. And they knew how to sit and listen to the reading of this letter. I'm sure the little children were just like children today, easily distracted, and probably had things to do and to piddle with to keep them quiet while the preacher was preaching or while this reader was reading the letter. But then, when the reader says, children, I can see all their little heads licked him up and listening. As he says and continues to read, obey your parents. I know often when I'm preaching, I'll look about and I'll see little children playing with something on the bench. They're sitting quietly, rustling their papers. And if I will say, children, they will stop. Those sweet little heads will look up and I'll see their faces and I can say something to them. And they'll listen for that moment. Oh, the importance it is to have children in the assembly. I know children can be a lot of bother and distraction, but we need to welcome them there. They are worth that distraction. And the little things they learn is that little children, while they're sitting with their mamas and daddies in the assembly during the worship, are little things they're going to remember all of their lives. So let's honor our fathers and mother, but let's also honor our children. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. The devotional reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, and a fit reading to read while thinking about the family. Here's where Paul writes, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I'm become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." As a part of additional material for the teacher, we are requested to read from the book of Exodus. This is Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm turning there now in my Bible. Here's what we read. "And there went the man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein, and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And she saw the ark among the flags, and sent her handmaid to fetch it. And she opened it, and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son, and she called his name Moses, and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" The other text that we're asked to look at is from the book of Luke. This is Luke chapter 10, and verses 38 through 42. Here's that reading, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." But the Lord answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And then there is a third reading in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at meat with him. Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of pure nard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples that should betray him, said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor?" Now this, he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the bag, took away what was put therein. Jesus therefore said, "Suffer her to keep it against the day of my burying. For the poor ye have always with you, but me ye have not always." I want to read the geographical notes for this Sunday school lesson. He's writing to the church at Ephesus in the text. Ephesus was the capital of the Roman province of Asia and the greatest city of Asia Minor. Here was erected the Temple of Diana, one of the 7 wonders of the world. And here, magic arts prevailed. The inhabitants were noted for their licentious and luxurious life, for the cultivation of magical arts, and for the fantastical worship of the ascetic Artemis, the personification of exuberant natural production. Now for some helps and hints for the teacher. The scriptures of this lesson have reference to teaching the Bible in the home, and show how to make the home Christian, and how to build Christian homes. One of the crying needs of the present is Christian homes. Nothing can take the place of home training and home influences. But with the tendency of the age not to build homes or even break up existing ones, this great and good godly influence is being lost. Living in a boarding house and flats and the disposition of some married people not to rear families and make against Christian homes, God's rule is that younger women marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling, for already some are turned aside after Satan, 1 Timothy 5:14 through 15. But how few are following God's rule in this respect, and how many have turned aside after Satan? Paul says of old women that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, Titus 2, 4 and 5. To pervert this order is to blaspheme the word of God. We'll continue this study of Christian homes in our next class.